Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of the fruits of the Spirit. Yesterday, we talked about faithfulness. Today, I want to talk about meekness. Meekness is not a popular word today. It's certainly a word that never has been popular, I don't suppose, but we hardly even hear it today, do we? Fenelon, a 17th century writer, said, "We seek God afar off, in projects perhaps altogether unattainable, and we do not consider that we possess Him now, in the midst of confusion. By the exercise of simple faith, provided we bear humbly and bravely the annoyances which come from others and our own imperfections." I'd like to read that again. "We seek God afar off in projects perhaps altogether unattainable, and we do not consider that we possess Him now in the midst of confusion by the exercise of simple faith, provided we bear humbly and bravely the annoyances which come from others and our own imperfections." Are you annoyed by your own imperfections? I am. And here comes the test. Look at the first seven fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But the last two fruits are absolutely decisive for determining the source of the whole bunch. Is the source you or Christ? Is it imagination or reality? And when we talk about meekness and self-control, the last two in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, it gets us right down where we live. Meekness, gentleness, humility, temperance, self-control, moderation. Let's look at this word, meekness. I believe that meekness means the recognition of our own size and place. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Don't cherish inflated ideas of your own importance." He said, "Have a sane estimate of your own capabilities." That sort of cuts across some of the things we hear today, doesn't it? Don't cherish inflated ideas of your own importance. Have a sane estimate. Meekness is the recognition of my place in God's universe, God's economy. This morning in prayer, I was realizing that I don't necessarily know what's right for people I love or what's wrong with them. Many of my prayers are about what I think would be right for those people, and I'm asking God to give it to them or do it for them. And some of my prayers are because I think I know something wrong in their lives. Well, God pares me down to size when I pray. Prayer pairs me. I realize that I'm coming to God requesting Him to do what needs to be done. The world's notion of self-esteem is a very different thing from biblical humility and meekness. We need to come down the stairs as Jesus did. He came down to earth. He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death. He was willing to be born in the normal way that any human being is born of a woman. It is said of one of the great mystics of the Middle Ages that when she was dying, her disciples asked for a last message, and she who had been called a mistress in theology and whose visions of the being of God are among the greatest the medieval mystics have left us, had only one thing to say to them as her farewell. Make yourselves small. Make yourselves very small. The saints and elders who are nearest to God, have you ever thought about this? They're the ones in the book of the Revelation who cast their crowns before him. The people nearest to God cast down their crowns. Perhaps we can assume that those who were a little bit further off were content to wear theirs. Do you know that beautiful hymn, Love Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. God himself humbles himself to enter my trembling heart, your trembling heart, if you ask him to. There are no airs, no pretensions. It's simple, matter-of-fact, and honest, this meekness that we're talking about. Stop and think now. Who do you know that puts on absolutely no airs, no pretensions, a simple man or a woman, matter-of-fact, straightforward? I hope you know some people like that. My husband Lars tells a story about when he was a traveling salesman years ago. He was selling women's clothing as a manufacturer's representative, and his territory was from Washington, D.C. to Dallas, in other words, the whole Southeast. And he loved going to Dallas for the, I don't know how many times a year, once or twice a year, they have a big clothing mart in Dallas. And so he stayed in a very fancy hotel because, of course, he was on an expense account. And he said one day as he was sashaying through the beautiful lobby of that hotel on his way to eat a very elegant gourmet dinner in a very elegant restaurant, he suddenly became aware of the fact that he was thinking that he deserved all this. And he said it came over him, I don't deserve any of this. And the fact that I get to stay in this hotel and eat this gourmet meal has absolutely nothing to do with who I am. He was humbled. If Christ had not made himself nothing, you and I would be nothing forever. The road to heaven is narrow. The gate is small. And as we stoop to enter, as we accept our nothingness, we learn of Christ. Von Hugel said, I never can read without deep emotion of Christ the Holy One, meekly washing feet, the feet of that poor little collection of coward followers. In Gethsemane, the final anguish was the discovery in him who was totally devoted to the Father, that he could not face without flinching the cross and the physical weakness which made him unable to carry the cross as he walked on the way to Calvary. I had never thought about that particular fact, that, well, several very telling facts there about the meekness of Jesus, the willingness to wash the feet of that poor little collection of coward followers. We've all thought of his humility in washing feet, but I hadn't thought about what cowards those followers had already been. And I hadn't thought about his weakness that made him unable to carry the cross. And so they had to lay the cross on the back of Simon the Cyrene. Think of the pattern Jesus showed us. Think of the story of Peter, the one who betrayed him. Peter goes blundering through the New Testament, the average natural man, eager, irritable, impulsive, even cocksure, and so often saying the wrong thing. We all love Peter because Peter does put his foot in his mouth every now and then. because the incarnation means God trusting his imperfect creature, it is on this rock that he builds his church. God knew the imperfections, the cowardice, the impulsiveness, the cocksureness of Peter, and yet he says, I'm calling you Peter, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Rock must have seemed a pretty funny name for that man Peter to the other disciples who knew him so well. But it was all right. Peter's constant stumbling, his errors and his impulsiveness would keep him in humility and dependence. It would never be his own spiritual quality, but God's rescuing power, which would see him through. If God could do that for Peter, what can he do for you and me? There's never a day goes by, I don't think, when I'm not convicted by the fact that a prideful thought has entered my head. The fact that it enters my head is not necessarily sinful, but if I entertain it, if I feed on it, if I sort of roll it around on my tongue, as it were, that becomes sin. And I pray for meekness, for a clear understanding of God's place for me in his economy, not the place that other people think I have or ought to have, but the place that God actually gives me. I pray that God will help me to fit into that. And I pray that he will help you as well, that he may produce in you the fruit of meekness. And tomorrow we'll talk about the fruit of self-control.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.